Luke chapter 15 is where I'd like to read to you from. It's a great privilege to have my oldest son and his wife with us here in the service tonight. He messed around and growed up on me and moved out and got married. But we have gained a daughter. We didn't lose a son. We gained a daughter, and he found her out in Missouri and brought her over here to God's country. And I sure appreciate that. Praise God. I got real happy. I saw a tag not too long ago on the front of her car said Carolina girl. Hallelujah. And so we're making an impact. Praise God. I appreciate them. We don't get to be in service together often anymore. And I'm just so thankful that they was able to come and be with us. Got something on my heart I'd like to talk to us about. And I'm going to take a little time and read this portion of Scripture. And we'll read Luke, the 15th chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 10. Very familiar territory. Jesus said in verse 10, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, 'Thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" We're going to pray again before you're seated. I've read through this and preached from this for years. Sometimes I wish, you know, I wouldn't add anything to this. But sometimes I do have a great desire in my heart. I wish maybe there's a verse 33 or a verse 34. And I have wondered in the days gone by, did the elder brother go in? We're going to talk about that in just a little while. I felt like God dealt with me about something and showed me the reaction of the elder brother, and we'll get around to that, Lord willing. Now, I want to talk to you about this parable, and in particular about Luke chapter 15, And I'd like to zero in toward the middle of this message on this elder brother. I'd like to talk to us about the elder brother. Amen. Would you lift your hands and pray? Ask the Holy Ghost to help us here. Walk among us, Holy Ghost, and help us, oh God, to please you and to bring you glory. We'll thank you for all that's accomplished. We'll give you the praise for what's done here. In Jesus' name, turn around, shake two or three hands, somebody you didn't come with. Welcome them to a holiness convention. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're familiar with the story of the prodigal son. I'm quite sure that probably most everybody here is familiar with that story. But just in case there's someone that have come among us tonight that's not, I'm just going to kind of glean through the beginning of the story in Luke chapter 15 of the man that had two sons. The prodigal is the one that we've heard the story about over and over and over again. And in the days gone by, and I'm sure that I'll do the same thing in the future, I've used the story of the prodigal son to preach to the lost. I've used that story to cast out the net, to throw out the lifeline, try to get men that have drifted, men that have backslid and went the way of the world, back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world, men that have gathered all together and taken their journey to the far country. I've used the parable of the prodigal in an effort to try to win them, in an effort to try and reach their heart. We've heard that story time after time about the far country, about the riotous living, about the wasted substance, about life in the hog pen. And we've talked about the terrible decisions that the younger brother made and the rebellion that was so alive, so obviously alive in his heart. I mean, to leave the comforts of the Father's house, to leave the love and the grace of the Father, to go over into an unknown land and waste his substance on riotous living. Man, what a terrible decision that young man made. We've heard that story, hadn't we? Amen. How that he gathered all together and took his journey into that far country. The Bible didn't say he spent all of his money. The Bible's much deeper than that. It said he wasted his substance on riotous living. I like to think sometimes that when that prodigal first made his trip across the border into that far country, that there was things he would not participate in. There was certain clothes that he would not wear. There was words that he would not say. Our generation, especially here in the South, if he would have been raised in the Father's house, more than likely, when he first made his journey into that far country, they would have probably laughed at him. Because he is the kind of boy that said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. Amen. They didn't talk like that over there where he took his journey to in the far country. They probably poked fun at him for the way that he is dressed because he was raised to dress in a modest way. When he got over in that far country, his wardrobe just didn't match up with all the rest of them that lived over there. They probably laughed at him and mocked him and made fun of him and ridiculed him. You know, there were certain things that he was trained not to say, certain subjects that he was taught in the Father's house not to talk about, especially in mixed company. And they would laugh at him, no doubt, when his cheeks would blush in times of conversation in that group of newfound friends that he had made. Hey, but before it was over with, Jesus, telling the story, said he wasted his substance on righteous living. Amen. There was no more yes, sir, and no, sir, in his vocabulary. His wardrobe was just like everybody else.
that lived over in the far country. His cheeks didn't blush. Amen. In mixed company, when certain subjects came up anymore, his substance was gone. His character was gone. His integrity was gone. His honesty was gone. All the characteristics that he had learned have been raised in the Father's house. He wasted it over in the far country. I'll preach to you the way the old time preacher used to preach in the Holiness Church. You know what he said? He said, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you're able to pay. Hallelujah.
We're familiar with the story of that prodigal, how that he joined himself in the time of famine to a citizen of that country. I want to tell you something. When you leave the safety and the security of the Father's house, you join yourself to the citizenship of this world, you'll find yourself doing things you thought you'd never do. You'll find yourself saying things you thought you'd never say. You'll find yourself in places you said you'd never visit. Amen. That sin got a hold of his heart. And when famine came, all of his inheritance was gone. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. Amen. Who just poked him in the eye, so to speak. He put a slop bucket in his hand and sent him to the field to feed swine, the worst thing that a good Jewish boy could do. Listen, I'd like to talk to us here. I want you to understand. I felt like God dealt with me about Luke, the 15th chapter. Really, Christ is telling not just this one parable, but he's talking about three parables. He told the parable of a man who had 100 sheep, had counted one day and one had went astray. And Christ said he left the 99 in the safety of the fold, and he went out into the wilderness and searched until he found that one that went astray. And when he found him, he put him over his shoulder, and he came home rejoicing. And he called his friends and his neighbors together, and he said, rejoice with me. Praise God. And then he told the story of the woman who had 10 coins and lost one. Amen. In a frantic situation, she lit a candle and she began to sweep the corners and the crooks and crannies of that house. And she searched until she found it. And when she found it, amen, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Really, Christ is dealing with a very important Bible subject in Luke, the 15th chapter. It would do us all good, amen, to bury this in our heart. He's teaching us the value of the lost always outweighs the value of those things that have never been lost. He put great emphasis on those things that were lost, those things that had went astray. When I read through this, I found out that he's speaking to two very different congregations. In chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. It's one congregation, but it's divided into two parts. Amen. They're sinners and publicans. They came for to hear him. Anywhere you find him in the four Gospels, amen, there's sinners there. There's publicans there. There's people there that's lost and know just how lost they are. Come on here. These folks wasn't putting on with pretense. They was not pretending to be something that they wasn't. They were sinners, and they knew they were sinners. But there was something about that Jesus. Something about that Jesus. When he began to speak, multitudes would gather together. It wasn't just the fishes and the loaves. It wasn't always just the healing. Oh, but when his lips began to move, and truth began to come across his lips, there was power. I said there was power, and it brought great victory into the lives of men. And the sinners and the publicans flocked to him, amen, to hear the words of life. That wasn't the only group in that great congregation that day. The Bible said in verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Christ is dealing in the parable of the prodigal son
with these two different, very distinct groups of people. Amen. The prodigal is the publicans and the sinners. They're lost and they know they're lost. That boy came to himself in the hog pen and he said, I will arise and go to my father. Thank God, amen, that he's a God of second chances. Thank God that he allows you turns. Come on here. Thank God you can find him if you want to find him. You can get a hold of him if you want to get a hold of him. Praise God. He's not playing hide and go seek. He's the same place he was when you left him. He climbed the fence of that hog pen and he walked up the road back toward the Father's house. Jesus is telling the story. The publicans and sinners are there. They're probably wiping their eyes about now. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees, amen, they're there with their arms crossed. They're looking down their sanctimonious nose, wondering where this story's about to go. You could almost hear the gasp in the congregation that day from these scribes and Pharisees when Christ put that boy just about home. I'll say to my Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as